new week. Hope you're doing amazing. I am excited this morning to be talking to one of my recently published authors, hot off the press, of the book Kissing Toads. I'm just making sure we are live on Facebook. Yes, we are. Okay, perfect. So I'll be able to monitor some comments there. Julie Greig is right next to me, and she has written a book called Kissing Toads. Jules, show us your book. A little bit closer. I know it's in the background. There it is, the ultimate online dating toolbox for women over 15. If you can't see behind her, she has got that toolbox of bits and pieces, and we're going to talk about that in a moment. And I'll show you guys a little bit of a closer image of the book. I've also got a beautiful photo here. Here it is. It looks a lot of fun with that illustration. You can talk to us about the cover in a moment, Jules. So let me give you guys the official introduction of who Julie Greig is and what she has done and how she's come about to write this book. All right, so Julie had a hard time deciding what she wanted to do when she grew up, and that led her to a very diverse background. At first, she pursued accountancy, but then shifted to early childhood education, where she started working with children with disabilities. After that, she studied veterinary nursing and eventually moved to local and state politics. Julie represented South Australia in various trade delegations and missions to China and the US. Then she returned to school in her late 30s. She earned a postgraduate degree in public sector management from Macquarie University. She married for 34 years and has two sons and three grandchildren. Her husband passed away from cancer almost a decade ago. A few years later, she decided to re-enter the dating world and discovered that as a woman in her 50s, dating had its own unique culture and language, making it challenging. So 3 years ago, she decided to document her journey in a book where she had has been candid about the difficulties and lessons that she learned. She hopes that her book will help other women like her search for their happily ever after in their own chapter two. So good morning.
Hi, Nat. How are you?
I'm amazing. And I'm very curious to find out everything that you are going to share. But let's start off with, obviously, 3 years ago you decided to document the journey. You know, tell me why and kind of what was kind of that line in the sand moment. I am actually going to make this official and write a whole book about it.
Okay, I officially started documenting it about 3 years ago, but yeah. I've always enjoyed writing just for my own benefit. I don't know, I think it mentally it just helped me for lots of different reasons. So I had little bits, I guess you could call them, just written on a diary that I carry, just about how I was feeling after Brian, my husband, had passed away. Mm-hmm. And yes, I was lonely and I wanted to make a fresh start with life. That's something we discussed while he was sick. With me being a people person, he kept telling me I shouldn't be on my own. I need to get out there and meet people. So I started doing that and discovered how different it was, as you said in the introduction. Yeah. Whole new world, whole new culture out there. Mm-hmm. So having a few drinks with a friend one night over watching some trashy TV, probably Married at First Sight or Farmer Wants a Wife, I said, you know what, I could write a book on this. And she said to me, why don't you? And that's where it began.
Yeah, I love it. So talk to me a little bit about why the title Kissing Toads. Is it just that kind of metaphor that we know from the princess and prince movies and all that sort of stuff?
Well, it actually came about because one of the men that I dated, who was not so nice, quite creepy to be honest, and I remember getting really angry with him and I called him a toad, and it was the first time I'd ever called anybody that. Yes. So he sort of inspired the title.
Okay. I love it. So how did you decide like to date again? And you say there are things to think about, you know, when you decide to think again. What are some of those things?
Right. Well, being a widow, you still sort of, or for me anyway, still felt married. I'd been with the same man for nearly 35 years, virtually straight from school, because we went to the same high school together. Wow. And we were friends at school, but it wasn't until after school we got serious. So within your own head, you think you're cheating. So it's crossing that barrier to get back to say, you know, I'm still here, I'm still alive. I've got to keep going. It's a chapter two for me. I've had a wonderful marriage. I need to get out there and see if I can find someone again. I didn't like coming home to an empty house. There was nobody to talk to. I was used to coming home, having a glass of wine waiting for me and somebody saying, how was your day? And discussing each other's day. We were a really good team and I missed that. I wanted it again. And in all honesty, I knew it wouldn't be the same, but I knew I could have something similar.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And what a great distinction. Yeah, that, you know, you're a widow. So like, yeah, you didn't get divorced, you didn't have a fight or whatever it is. And yeah, just the mindset shift of, you know, wanting to keep going. As you say, you're a social person. So some people may not, but if you need companionship, you know, definitely, you know, what's the point in life? You know, you want to share it with someone, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Beautiful. You know, I'm all very curious. I'm going to ask you straight up, what's in the toolbox behind you?
Okay, in my toolbox.
Because you were moving it around before that we went live, and like, you know, just so we can see a little bit of it in the screen here. But yeah, tell me, what's in the toolbox?
Okay, well, I'll preface it by saying my toolbox is a little bit like a Mary Poppins bag. It's endless. So when I'm talking to people about making their toolbox, you can put anything in it you like. And for me, in the top of my toolbox are my sisters, who've been my rock since I was on this journey, actually my whole life, but more so while I've been on my dating journey and my writing journey. Mm. I've got photos of my friends in there symbolising how important they are to me as well.
Yes.
Copy of a good book. In fact, I put my own book in there.
Yeah, love it.
I've got a few DVDs. I always say to people, maybe carry a copy of Sex in the City, a few of those episodes, see how Samantha and Carrie managed dating in as they were getting older and some of the men they dated, just so people can have a bit of a laugh about it.
Yeah.
Bottle of wine, mm-hmm. And a glass, of course. I've also got some signage in there for things like me time, because I think it's important for all of us just to have some time out to reflect, think about what we want or where we're going. So me time is really important. Well, it is to me. Yeah. Some people may remember the old Get Smart television show. About it's an old American show from the 60s, not trying to show my age, but and in that show, when the secret agents were having secret meetings, they went under a cone of silence. Well, a group of girlfriends and I had a cone of silence when we got together for dinner and drinks to talk about our dating. So whatever was said stayed in that room or in our cone of silence. So it wasn't something we went out and spread amongst the world. It was just a conversation between girlfriends about how things were going with our different dates. So I've put a cone of silence in there, and copies of cutouts, I should say, of Farmer Wants a Wife, Married at First Sight, The Bachelor, things like that. All those television shows you watch in a very judgmental way at times, that I guess gave me a laugh and helped get me started with that push to write my book.
Oh, I love it. That's awesome. These are the things, I guess, that inspire you and that are important to you. So that's what you kind of have created for yourself, and you tap back into those things. You mentioned in your, when I introduced you, that it's kind of like a different culture out there when you are dating in your 50s. How would you compare it, like, to, I mean, I guess you were high school sweethearts, but I don't know if you have too much to compare it to, you know, with other people, but what do you feel is different when we are?
I was dating back in the 70s. So as I said, I met Brian through school, but we didn't go out straight away. It was shortly after school. Yeah. We were into the now called the clubbing scene. Back then it was called the disco scene.
Yes.
So that's where I spent my Fridays and Saturday nights. I lived in Sydney at the time, so it was normally Bardwell Park RSL Club or St George Leagues Club or even the Arncliffe Hotel. And generally the girls would be on the dance floor and the boys would have their pint in hand and they'd be around the floor, and when they got the courage, they'd sort of come up and ask you to dance. That's how I remember dating and meeting up with people.
Right.
when I eventually got the courage to date again, or as I say, my book, put my big girl pants on and got back out there, I went out with a group of girlfriends. There was a band on at the local hotel. I think they were doing it. Yeah, they were doing an ABBA impersonation. Yeah. So we went along together as a group of girls, we were sitting down, just having a few drinks and getting up to dance to the various songs. And then this man came up and asked if I'd dance with him. So I remember saying, yeah, no worries. I thought he was much older than me. I discovered later he was much younger, but boy, has things changed. He looked much older. Yeah. But after we finished, I went back to my table and he came over with a screwed up piece of paper and threw it on the table and said, oh, that's my number if you want to give me a call. Oh, I didn't appreciate that. And I thought, is this what dating's like now? You know, it just seemed disrespectful, or look, maybe he was shy or whatever, but I don't know. I just didn't like being treated like that. Yeah. And I said to a girlfriend at the table, there must be a better way to meet men, to meet other people and to go out and have a good time. And she actually said to me, well, Julie, have you thought about online dating? I said, what? And then she told me she was doing online dating. And I thought, oh, it seemed a bit embarrassing because I thought at our age, online dating.
Yeah.
But so that's how it sort of, that was the catalyst for getting out there to date again. Yeah. So, yeah, we arranged to have dinner together. She showed me how to use the dating app.
Yes.
And that's where it all started.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, because even for me, we met people at clubbing. You know, you called it disco, we called it clubbing, but it was still like that. And online dating began, the very beginning of it was as I was sort of in the last year or two before I met Stuart, my current husband. So then I haven't been part of obviously that world at all, but I know I have friends who are single. And you know, so tell me a little bit about the online dating. You know, is there some funny stories or interesting things that you have had happen?
Look, I have to tell you that when I sat down with my girlfriend to first go on and sign up, yeah, we signed on to this site and she told me about putting my profile in, so left me to do that, helped me pick the right picture to put up, put it all in, and then the dating site algorithms do a few matches to get you started, I guess, yeah, is the best way, yeah, of putting it. You're not going to believe this, but the first person they brought up was a really good friend's ex-husband.
Oh.
And I thought, oh my God, no, I was so embarrassed. And it was, how do I get rid of this? How can I remove myself before he sees it? I didn't want anybody to know. So I took myself completely off, made sure there was nothing left on that site.
Yeah.
And then afterwards I thought, you know what, he's probably out there looking for somebody too. He could skip through my profile, I could skip through his. But it was just the fact that he'd come up that was, yeah, a shock, because I didn't expect to see people that I knew. And yet I know in Australia, particularly at the moment, because I love stats, there's 3.4 million people in Australia using online dating sites.
Oh, yes.
So you're bound to run into people you know when you're online. Yeah. So that was, you know, quite an introduction for me. But it also, having done that with a friend, gave me the confidence then to look at other sites to see what I could do for myself.
Mm. Yeah. So you explored a few different platforms and kind of find one that you like and sort of went with that?
I did. And look, most of the platforms were pretty good. All the platforms I used had safety precautions in them. And they're things that I've put in my rules in my book too. Just check these things out before you sign up. Make sure you're comfortable with a particular site.
Yes.
There was one site I went on who were good, but I think I ran into my first scammer. There was this beautiful man who looked like he was a WWF wrestler who sent me this lovely message telling me what he thought of me and how nice I was, you know, really boosting my ego. And he could see I was a woman who wanted him. I valued him for more than his looks. I thought, what? I don't even know you. Anyway, I let him go, and he said he lived in Millers Point in Sydney. And I thought, yeah, right. So anyway, I ignored that. And then the next day I got another what looked like a hunky wrestler as well with almost the same message. So I asked this, I thought, right, asked this one if he knew the other one I'd spoken to because their wording was the same. And did he live at Miller's Point as well? I never heard from him again, but I reported them both to the dating site and both were removed.
Yeah.
So that was
An interesting story you might like to know, since we're talking about this. Stuart's photo was taken to portray someone's profile. It was Rod from Yes. And that had made him like 7 years older than what Stuart really is. And then it ended up going, and a friend of Stuart had seen it, obviously someone who was on a dating site, and they sent a screenshot to Stuart. So it became this whole big joke, but it ended up on TV as well because a few people were catfishing through this particular online website, and Stuart's profile ended up being on the actual news and things like that. So we always talk about Rod from Yes, you know, that they take other people's photos, right? And so you talk about rules. So what are some of the rules? Like safety, of course, making sure you go with a reputable online site. What are some of the other things?
Look, in my book, I've got a series of rules. The first three rules I call my golden rules.
Yes.
And generally is rule number one is you make the rules. Mm-hmm. Rule number two is you've got the right to change the rules. And rule number three is if rule one fails, go to rule number two.
Yes.
So I call those my most important rules.
Yes.
And then I've got a series of other rules, which I'm just going through my book here, that talk about, as I mentioned earlier, checking out dating sites, making sure they're offering you what you want. Always look at the terms and conditions, because most people think dating sites are free, but they're not, and they can cost a lot of money. So you really have to take that into account. And the other thing with the dating sites is some of them that say they are free, well, they are when you first get on. But once people try and communicate with you, if you want to see who's seeing you or saying something to you, you have to pay for it. So check that out. Check what the length of the contract's for, and make sure it's really important that it addresses your safety as a user. I think that's paramount. And make sure the site is easy to use. You've got to be able to understand it. You've got to be comfortable using the site. And you've got to be aware of what the site's all about as well and who you're talking to. So they're the key rules that I've put in there. I've always said to people that it's also important to be aware for themselves. If they're making arrangements to meet somebody, make sure you're meeting in a safe place, a safe environment. When you're on a dating site, don't give out your address. Don't talk about your income. And don't give out your phone number till you're ready to. One other thing that is really important is maintaining your standards. Don't settle for less.
Yeah.
A lot of women put themselves down because, I don't know what other word to use, but they make themselves sound desperate. Mm. And we all do it in different ways because people are so vulnerable and so lonely. But you're a decent person, you're a good person, and you've got to remember that in yourself. So I'm not settling for second best, particularly when I feel I've had the best. So you want someone who's going to treat you right and respect you as well.
Yeah.
Safety, as I keep saying, is always paramount.
Yes.
And I always tell people to be gracious, because accept everything and everyone along the journey, because some people bring good things, other people bring lessons as well, and you learn and you grow from them. So they're the sorts of rules I've got. And then one really big last rule was use common sense.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, there's some really good tips, and you know, especially the thing about addresses, phone numbers, things like that, because you don't know. Have you ever felt uncomfortable in a situation, or like, you know, met someone who didn't really look like their picture and all that sort of stuff?
I haven't felt uncomfortable because I guess I've had some safety precautions in place. When I'm meeting somebody, I try to set a venue where it's fairly open so that as I'm walking in, I can find them.
Yeah.
If I can't see somebody that looks like the profile picture, I just go. Mm. So that was always my way of dealing with things. Or if I was sitting down with someone and I felt uncomfortable, I'd just say to them, look, this isn't working for me.
Yeah.
and I'd leave. So I'd get it over and done with straight away. And I might have seemed a bit too picky, but you learn along the way, and you have to do these things. I went out with a person when I very first started dating who seemed wonderful. We actually stayed together for over 12 months. And I kept making excuses for little things he was doing. For instance, he didn't like visiting my friends or going out if my friends were going. And I soon learned, but it took me a long time, he was isolating me. And I wasn't used to that. So I'd go up to his house, which was a good 80 kilometres from me, and I'd just spend the weekend cleaning and helping him. And I kept thinking, oh, that's because he likes to be together. And it took me a while to realise I was being used.
Yeah.
So after that, I started to get far more strict with myself.
Yeah. And what about like people who are kind of maybe have been disillusioned, you know, they've been online for a while and all that sort of stuff, and they just want to give up, there's no point in all that sort of stuff. What would be your advice to them? Or is there, you know, I always say in business and in life, anything, it's a numbers game. If you take lots of shots, something, you're going to find something, you know, like same as in marketing, you try 10 different things, one hopefully will produce the results, but you got to fail fast, as I like to say. What would be your advice or opinion around that?
Look, I've got a little bit of advice here, just from my own learnings, is firstly, you are going to meet lots of toads before you find your handsome prince. And that's inevitable, because we should be picky. We should be looking for everything that ticks our boxes. So take your time. And yep, we're going to fall down a few times, but every time we get a kickback or a knockback or we fall down, we get back up and we get out there, because there is somebody out there for everybody. Expand your horizons as well. I was really, I limited myself. I was looking for men around my own age. And it wasn't until I went a little bit further afield, for me it was up to 5 years older than me, that I started discovering other men who I hadn't even considered before. And that makes a huge difference as well. And something else that contradicts a bit of what I've said, but if you think about it, quite often we always look for what's wrong with a person rather than what's right with them. So try and focus on some of the positives. Take the rose-coloured glasses off, because, you know, there are alarm bells out there. There are red flags we have to look at, but there are also green flags. Yeah. So, you know, sometimes we need to think, all right, let's have a really good look at this person. Maybe a first date isn't enough. Maybe you need two or three dates before you really decide, do I want to pursue this any further?
Yeah, that's a great suggestion and idea. And also, I guess, when we're talking about dating in our 50s plus, everyone comes along with lots of baggage, as they say, maybe past traumas, past relationships, children. Those are some complications that come with dating, you know, at an older age, right? So they're all of the things we've got to consider. But then there's the beautiful things of wisdom and, you know, maturity and things like that, you know, that that you got to look at, as you say, not like, you know, what the bad things are, but what's also the good stuff. Yeah. And you did end up finding your partner that you're with now. And how long have you been with him now?
It's actually today is 4 years.
4 years today. Wow. Yeah. And you also had a 12-month relationship with the other person. So that's wonderful. And it happened through online, yes?
It all did, yes.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful. Awesome. So you wrote the book, you engaged us as publishers, and I certainly have seen you attend all of our weekly publishing accelerator calls, and because I didn't get to spend as much time with you, say, doing the Ultimate 48 Author Retreat, because you were happily writing your content and you just needed that help to get it all published. So how was the support and the experience? I mean, you know, as I said, I've seen you in the weekly support calls, but haven't had as deep an interaction as with some of the authors that we do all the other trainings and things like that. How did you find it all?
All right, I'll start off by summing it up in one word: amazing. The support has been incredible. It actually kept me on track. it's funny because I, as you know, I was putting it all together. I'd written all my stuff out that I wanted to write about and hadn't taken it any further. Then I retired and I had the time on my hands, and I was playing on Facebook one day and a little snippet came up about Ultimate 48-Hour Author and do you want to write a book? And so I attended one of your introductions. Yeah. And then I had a chat with Stuart afterwards. We spoke about where I was at.
Yeah.
And everything was just encouraging. I thought, you know what, I'm going to do this. It was nerve-wracking at first because I thought, can I really commit to this? Do I want to? And you just made it easy, I guess is the best way of putting it. I learned lots of new words like leveraging, call to action, all this stuff. And I thought, what does that mean? But Julie, Viv and Nick. Nick was a godsend with my illustrations and trying to read my mind for me.
Yeah.
I couldn't have asked for better help. You know, it kept me on track, kept me focused. And for me, I needed that. I needed not someone to hold a stick at me, but just a reason to keep writing. And you guys gave me that.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And the thing is, you also put in the effort and the time to be present at those weekly support calls, because that is really key for what we say. Well, that's why we call them accelerator calls, because when you do attend them, you will accelerate and you won't get into your own head and get stuck, and you can talk to people in real time. And as you say, you have that social aspect in them as well, where you're kind of seeing the same people week in and week out, or maybe some new ones come in and you meet, and you, it just expands your network as well. So that's wonderful. So where can people buy your book? I know Nick helped you set up a landing page. So I'm going to show that on the screen right now, you guys, so you can see it. And I'll spell it out in case you're listening to this as a podcast. But it is Julie's name, juliegreig.com. Greig is spelled G-R-E-I-G.com, and Julie is just normal Julie. And here's the website, Kissing Toads, the ultimate online dating toolbox for women over 50. And if you scroll down, you'll read a bit about Julie and her book, and you can place your order there. So this is when you're you would be directly buying it from her, so she could probably sign it for you before she puts it in the mail. But it is also available on all your good online resellers, you know, as a paperback, as an ebook, and all that sort of stuff. That's wonderful. Anything else you'd like to add? What are your future hopes for this book? I know you've just hosted a book launch and all that sort of stuff.
Okay. A few people have contacted me asking me if I'm going to do a follow-up book to it. And I've said, you know, I've been putting notes together because I have my author page on Facebook, and I get a lot of feedback on that. Where people want me to take the journey further and just elaborate more on different things. And also because the online dating is a big thing at the moment, and the government has a round table on dating safety. And so I've been putting posts up on that occasionally as well for people. So I thought, yeah, there's room here for me to do more. So at the moment I'm happy just getting out there and talking about this book.
Yes.
And talking to the various groups of women or library talks. I actually didn't think it would go that far. I wrote this just as a self-help book for myself, more so than anything. But it's been really good. Even at my book launch, a few people said to me they've adopted some of the things I've put in there. They like the rules, or they're making their own toolbox. So it's
meaning
something.
And often that's the better way to even approach it. Often people can come in with the, oh, I need to make money from it, I need to do this, that, all that, the other. And they're like almost in a rush to get to that point, rather than just take and enjoy the journey and take each step, and whatever comes from it when it comes out, it's, you know, it's however big you want to make it, right? You know, this could, you know, turn into a full-blown business, or as you say, if you get opportunities to speak there, share your story, you know, get the book into some businesses where they can on sell it, or as you say, do some library talks, whatever it is. I mean, you can, I always say, you can make it as big or as small as you want. It's your life and you get to choose. But it's wonderful to hear that, you know, there is, I always know that, you know, things happen as you transform and become the person that you are now after writing a book. You know, I always say it's often not about the book, it's about the person you become at the other end of it. And as you say, it's opened up a little bit. And I know that writing books is a bit addictive, so I'm not surprised to hear there might be a second one as well coming up. Beautiful. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Julie, for sharing some of those insights and, you know, people that are on here and they listen to these interviews are kind of in my age range, I would say. So I'm sure if you are in that online dating world and you haven't, you found your happily ever after yet, go and pick up Julie's book, you know, have a bit of a read. Obviously, there's a lot more detail to what we spoke about today. But have an awesome day, everybody. Thank you, Julie, for joining me. And I look forward to, you know, maybe helping you with book 2 as well. All right, guys, have a great week ahead and go and smash it out. Bye.